You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and that is a wonderful thing. It makes me a very happy camper. Hope it does you. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, the Refresh radio program. Today we're going to be in Romans chapter 8. We are talking about the love of God, how that should operate in our life, the reality that it of the blessings that it brings into our life. And so we're going to resume today, and we'll resume our reading in verse number 28. We will actually pick up our study in verse number 29. But once or twice a week, I take just a minute to invite you out to our services. This Sunday morning, we'll have Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30, and we would love to have you come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us. We're in the Merritt Park Place is the name of the area from decades gone by. We're two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We're on the corner of Grove and Tangerine. On Sunday mornings, there's a farmer's market that is one street over. So if you wanted to come to church and then go over and get some fresh produce, you could do that. If you know where Ola's Cuban Kitchen is, we are we're right across the street from them. They're right across the street from us. There's a veterinarian, a big veterinarian office that is right across the street from us. If that gives you some geographic reference points to where we are, we're a smaller church. We love each other like family, and we would love to have you come and worship with us as we do our best to be a blessing to Brevard County in every way that God makes it possible for us to do that. So if you do have a prayer request, you can email those to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. You can also reach us at 321-454-4263. All of those things we take very seriously, and we would love to stand in faith with you, believing for God to meet your needs. Today we're talking about the love of God. In verse number 28 of Romans 8, it says this: "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" And that's the end of verse number 35. That's where we're going to end the reading for today. So on yesterday's program, we had dealt with verse 28, one of the most well-known passages of Scripture in the Bible, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Many people only talk about the first part. We know that all things work together for the good, but there are qualifying statements there that is said to be true for those who love God and those who are called, and they are called according to His purpose. So those are some of the qualifying statements. They're very important contextually. There was a person, a very famous person. They had come out. They had embraced Christianity after having lived a professional sinner's life. They embraced Christianity, and then sometime later they renounced their Christianity. And the reason for that was that they had prayed, they had asked God to do things, and God didn't do what they wanted Him to do. Disappointment happens whenever we have our expectations set up. So one of the things that I try to do here on this program is to help to establish the context of the passage, because the Bible is more than just little snippets. It's more than just some quotable phrases. Words have meaning. The surrounding passages impact those little quotes or partial scriptures that people love to quote, because many times people want to say this, and we know that all things work together for good. That's where they want to leave it. They don't want to talk about that it is to those who love God. They don't want to talk about it's to those who are called to according to the purpose of God. But those things are relevant. And, you know, I have told the story many times of that when I came to Merit Assembly of God, for about a year before I was asked by the district, our governing organization, they're based in Lakeland, Florida, they said, hey, we want you to, you know, go pastor Merit Assembly of God. And for a year before, God had given me a verse. It was 1 Peter 5:10. It was in a devotional that I was reading, and it kept coming up over and over and over again. And God just impressed it every time I saw it, that was what He was speaking to my heart. And that verse says, and the God of all glory will Himself come and pick you up and place you where He wants you and cause you to be established and prosper after you have suffered a little while. And, you know, I had some logistics reasons for being a little hesitant about that verse, because for most Assembly of God churches, you have to send in a resume, you have to go before a pulpit committee, interview, you go, you preach, you get voted on, and that's how most pastors get selected. But there was an organization, classification of churches that are called home missions churches or dependent churches, and those were churches that did not meet the minimal qualifications to self-govern, so they still existed, but the district had governing policies in place, and they would appoint the pastor. And so that's how I came to Merit Assembly of God 33 plus years ago. So I'd been at the church for a while. We had seen some growth, but it was very, very difficult in those early days. We had a building that needed work. We had very few people, very little finances, and it was a very difficult stretch. And I was like, God, I don't understand. I know the verse that you gave me. I'm still standing in that verse. And he said, well, you'd better go read it again. And I was like, well, I can quote it. And he said, go read it. And when I went back, I saw some of the qualifying statements that had to do with timing. It didn't have to do with the reality of the verse or the promise of the verse. It had to do with understanding, because there was context in there. And so I had glossed over the part that said, after you have suffered a little while. And so I'm thankful for context. It helps us to overcome disappointment that is brought on by our own lack of awareness of some of the things that context would help enlighten us about. A number of other mistakes that I made through the years had to do with I didn't, you know, understand the promises that God was making, and, you know, God helped me to understand that. So I'm thankful for the experience. You see, even if you have missed the mark on occasion, God can use those lessons, those seasons, to help bring clarification so that you do not continue to make the same mistake over again. So what does it go on to say in verse number 29? Verse number 29 says, for whom he foreknew. Now, I want you to know that God knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. God had a purpose for you from before the foundation of the world. God knows the number of hairs you have on your head. He knows the number of days that he has ordered for you. He knows the thoughts that you think, the intentions that you have in your heart. God knows us. He knows the challenges that we face. He knows the prayers that you pray, even if no one else has ever heard them. He knows what he is preparing for you. And so it's, you are not an afterthought. You are a forethought. God intentionally has you and has strategically placed you in accordance with his word, exactly where you are right now, that we would seek out for him, that we would reach out for him, and that we would find him. That's the purpose of God. He foreknew us, and it says he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, there are some people who take the concept of predestination, and they want to make it that it is predestined, that there are people who are going to be saved and that there are people who are not going to be saved. And it doesn't matter for the people who are going to be saved what they do, they are going to be saved. That's just the way it is. It is predestined for them to be saved. And likewise, they say that, you know, if you are predestined not to go to heaven, it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter about all of the things that you strive to accomplish or seek to know him, that you're not going to heaven. And I want you to know, that's not my understanding of predestination at all. The predestined means that there is a destiny that God has for us, and that is he does not want any to perish, but he wants all to come to everlasting life. That is the destination that God has for us. He wants us to spend eternity with him. That is the heart of God. But in the purpose of God, the plan of God, he created mankind with a free will. And every single person listening to the sound of my voice, every single person not listening to the sound of my voice, they are utilizing their free will each and every day, hundreds of times a day. They are making choices, and many of those choices are, relatively inconsequential. But many of the choices have eternal ramifications. There are people who make bad moral decisions each and every day. Does that mean that God wanted them to make those bad moral decisions? Absolutely not. Okay. There are people who choose not to reach out to God, and that is something that is also not what God would have. He would have all of us to reach out for him and to know him. So as I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about the master who entrusted talents to his servants. And he entrusted different amounts to the servants before he left. And some will say, well, that's not fair. Well, you need to understand that a wise businessman is going to have people who have been with him different lengths of time, achieved different levels of success, been around him to understand his nature different amounts of time, and two of them put the principles that the master had demonstrated to them. In other words, they took their talents and they functioned or invested those resources the same way that the master would have done it. And so when he returned, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now you're going to be faithful over more. There was one who didn't even use the very first principle that the master had, showed that he was not operating in faith. He was operating in fear. And instead, he was called a wicked and lazy servant. And so that his failure was not what the master was looking for. His master was looking to set him up to succeed, and he chose failure instead. So if God has the destination of us being with him forever, as the destination for all humanity, I believe this, that God also has a plan to use the church to reach everybody on planet Earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to say yes to God's plan. Unfortunately, there are still way too many people who have not heard. Now, in many countries, it's not for lack of missionaries there, but instead it's because people in that area aren't. Some of the great churches in the book of Revelation now, the only thing that they have that reflects anything of a church is there are some ancient buildings, some of which have been repurposed, that say, you know what, there used to be a Christian reference, but because of politics, because of other religions, because of bad choices that other people made, now there is very little Christian witness in those communities. So if it's not about predestination as far as heaven or hell. What does predestined mean? It says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what our destination is. That's what God is looking for out of us. So every day, the question is, what, God, what would you like to do in me today that is going to make me better reflect the image and the nature of your son, the image and nature of Christ, so that I love people the way that Jesus loved people, that I have an ear to the Father's voice the same way that Jesus did, so that I speak the words that I hear, and that I have eyes to see what you are doing so that I can do those things as well. So, every single one of us should be in the process of being conformed, and you know, you might think that that's in contradiction to something we'd read about in Romans chapter 12, where it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The conforming to God's image happens because of the transforming or the renewing of our mind, which transforms us. We were created in the image of God. But when sin entered the world, that image became marred. It became damaged. And when Jesus came, he set out to restore us to the image that we were created in. So, I was looking for an example of how I could, share this principle. And I thought of a penny. Pennies are stamped in the way that they have been designed. Well, they're not stamped anymore. They're now outdated. Still legal currency. But they were formed perfectly, or were supposed to be, with an image on them. When my wife and I were dating, we went to this museum in the town that she lived in, the city that she lived in. And when we were there, you could, I think you could pay a quarter and you would put in a penny, and then that machine would take that penny. It might not have cost anything. I'm not sure, but I think they were using it as a fundraising opportunity. Put in a penny, you pay a fee, and what it would do is it would take that intentionally created coin, and then it would alter its appearance. It would flatten it out. It would superimpose a different image on it, and it would become a little bit of a novelty souvenir at that point in time. It, whatever image it put on it, it had something to do with the museum that we went to. And if you saw that, you would say, there ain't no way that penny could be restored back to its original image. It's a very similar process to the deviation from the divine design that God had for our lives. We live in a fallen world. The pressures of life weigh down on us. Bad decisions weigh on. And before you know it, we're not looking, acting, thinking, speaking like Jesus would have us to speak. And the devil would come in and say, look at what a miserable failure you are. Look at how far you have fallen from the purpose and the design that God had for you. There's no going back. You see, the enemy specializes in condemnation. But I want you to know that if it was possible, you know, that if you had connections, you could take one of those deformed pennies, you could take it back to the original Treasury Department location. They could melt that thing down. They could restore it back to its original image. They absolutely have the technology. Here's the thing. It would be very costly. It would be very costly to take something that had been deformed and restore it back to its original image. And cost is one of the reasons why pennies are no longer being produced. I want you to understand that for those of us who were designed to and predestined by God to be conformed to the image of God, He has paid the highest price so that we could go through that refining process, that redemption process, to where He could restore us to the original design, the original purpose that He had for us all along. And here's the good news. It was way more expensive for us as human beings than it would be to restore a penny. But Jesus said, it's worth the cost. Today, I pray that if you haven't started the journey, you will start the journey. If you haven't prayed the prayer, you will pray this prayer. God, would you conform me to the image of Jesus? One who loves your house, one who loves your people, one who loves the lost, one who has an ear to your voice, who has a heart that says, what is it that you want me to speak? What is it that you want me to do? Because if the body of Christ would live our lives saying, God, we want to be as much like Jesus as possible, God will take us very serious at that prayer, and He will make that a reality, and He will use us for His glory. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.